First of all, Father, I thank and praise you for that day. I thank you for the time that we can gather together like this as a church here, Father, and hear your word and just for the things of it. And we praise you for your word. We praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us here outside. And we know that the spring is coming and that you're going to be just changing the earth completely all around us here, Lord. Help us to take advantage of that, dear Father, and just to watch the beauty that you're going to paint here on this earth. Once again, the greenness and the flowers and the different colors of flowers and the trees and things like that there, Lord. We just ask that we just wouldn't overlook these things, but that, Lord, that we just would know and realize that it comes from you. And we thank you for it. Lord, we need your help for this lesson today, and we just ask for your guidance and direction. And we ask, Father, that we could learn something through it and that your spirit would just take full control and just help us to know the right things here, Lord, with children and things like that, and husbands and wives and just all these things there, Father. So give us the guidance and direction that we need. We ask you to be at the service to follow and the message that the pastor, that you laid upon his heart, that we could just learn from it, that your spirit would just enlighten us through it. Then in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many marriages would be better if the husband and wife clearly understood that they are on the same side. All right, we're talking about discipline here of children. Been a couple weeks now, and we said, you know, why does my child need discipline? We were talking a little bit about that. Proverbs 19:18 said, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And Proverbs 22:15 said, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's that foolishness that we're trying to get out of him. And we're trying to get wisdom into it. Foolishness and wisdom, they're just the opposite of one another. And we're trying to put wisdom into them. And that's why we do these different aspects of it. We went over and we talked about the fool, you know, they won't believe in God unless that it's taught to them and that they change their heart. And it's the heart thing that a lot of times people say behavior and things like that, but I believe it's a heart that needs to be changed in a child as you're bringing them up. And so we were talking there a little bit, children that they're born sinners. And Isaiah 53:6 was talking about there of a sinful heart and stuff. And he says, all we like sheep are going astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're just like sheep. All of us are like sheep. The children are like sheep. You know, they like to go to the other side. The grass is always greener on the other side. My neighbor has sheep, and he has one of these high tensile fences up. And I mean, it's a beautiful fence. And you say, there's no way them sheep can get out of that. Well, here not too long ago, a couple years ago, I had a beautiful hay field up on the hill, and I looked up. There was a herd of sheep in it. And I thought, now how in the world did these sheep get out? So I walked up, and usually it takes one. One will be the leader. And so I thought, okay, well, let's just see here once. So I walked up to them. I didn't try to chase them or nothing. I just walked up to them, and they started going away from me. One of them walks over to the fence, and there's just a big enough a hole right there underneath the fence where, whoop, he went under. Guess what? All the rest of them went under. One little hole. You have all kinds. You have a beautiful fence, but all it takes is one little hole. And, you know, so we are like sheep. We're going astray, you know, and that's just the same way with a child, you know. They're just like the sheep that's going astray. Now, what we were talking about is here, we're saying here is that, you know, that you asked, when should I begin disciplining my child? And I told you before that there was that was a question that I asked some of these young couples, and that was one of the top ones that came up, was when should I begin disciplining my child? When should I do that? We talked a little bit about that. Dan said he did whenever yours was a month or two old. Is that right? 4 months. 4 months old, okay? 4 months old. Should you do it before that? After that? What do you think? You're shaking your head, Van. You're one of the elders in here. Okay? So.
Okay, my, I don't know if that was my first child. I would like
to. Well, we talked a little bit about that, you know, well, even like your first child with the crying and all that stuff. And, I mean, we said about it before, too, they will manipulate you. If you they cry, and especially the wife, if she goes and picks them up, and then, oh, that's a nice little baby, you know, they quiet down. But then through the night, whenever they just decide that they're going to cry, they don't want fed or nothing, they just want picked up, you pick them up, and the mother picks them up, then after a while, that gets old. She don't get her sleep, she gets a little grouchy, and finally, sometimes somebody has to tell them, just let them bawl, you know. And that's just sometimes that's just what you have to do is let them bawl. They'll get over it. They're not, you know, they're not going to die or anything from it, you know, and it's just one of them things that you have to do. So when should I begin disciplining my child? Well, some of you said there. Now, let me ask you this question. When should I stop? That was one of the questions, too. When should I stop disciplining my child? Some of you experts here. Pastor, when should I stop? You're smiling.
You don't ever want to.
What do you think on this one? Anybody else? Go ahead.
I mean, the child, when they get to the age of college, you know, when they get to the age where they have been taught, you've taught them, and they should know what to do. But if they're under your roof, they should follow your rules.
I had a teenager that decided that he didn't like my rules, and I told him, then you pack your bags and you leave. You make your choice. I don't tell you, don't do this here. I mean, this is just something that I was very upset, and I told him, go. You don't have to stay here. But as long as you're under my roof, you're following my rules and my regulations, and I don't care if you like it or if you don't like it. He decided to stay, and he came and apologized to me. So I'm not saying that works all the time, but, you know, that was one incident where it came up with me, and it was it. If you don't like my rules and regulations, then I told him the road leads two ways down there at the end of the lane. So what's that? Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes. So. Well, here's what this guy said about it. The Bible never makes discipline a matter of age, but rather a matter of behavior. And I want to add to that behavior the heart, too, because that's something that I will be going over. But it says, start discipline whenever you are sure your youngster is knowingly rebelling or being disobedient, and stop when they don't, when they do so. That's what he says about it. So, you know, there's lots of different things there, you know, with the disciplining. When should I discipline and when should I not discipline and things like that. And it depends upon the child. You know, each one of you know that your children, you have children, each one of those children are different. You know, each one of my children were different. I have two of them that followed after their mother, and I had to have one that followed after me. And that's just not right. They should have all followed after their mother. She's a whole lot better person than what I am, but I had to have one, and oh, he had to follow with a bullheadedness and everything. That's the thing that gets me. But anyhow, you know, they're all different, and that's when, you know, that this disciplining takes place. Dan, go ahead. Yes, yes,
My son were to, let's say, as an example, break the law by speeding. Sometimes, I mean, if he gets a ticket, that's sufficient, as far as I'm concerned. At least if it's the first time.
Sure, it's the same way as teaching maybe like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You can tell them, you know, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Many of you are going through this. Don't touch it, it's hot. What do? 9 chances out of 10, they're going to touch it, you know, and you just have to let it go. I know my daughter with her son, it wasn't that long ago. Don't touch it, it's hot. But now he knows what hot is, because he's one of them there that definitely, as she's telling him, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. He's reaching. And she finally just left him touch it. And he found out. You know, now, you know, food is hot. Everything's hot to him, you know, whenever so he knows. So that's right, you know, that's just the example. There's times where you just can't, you just got to let them go through it. So you do. And that's the way they'll learn, you know. And you're teaching them something by doing that. You don't want them to do. That's why you are telling them, don't touch it, it's hot. You're trying to teach them something, but until that they experience it, then, you know, they've learned a lesson on that. Anybody else? Go ahead, Ron. I wonder if it's even a 40-year-old. I know of a 63-year-old that he was in a motel last week, and they kept having these signs on the wall, wet paint, wet paint. And it was there for a couple days, so the last day I had to touch it just to see. It wasn't wet, you know, but, you know, it's just that challenge, you know, that's there. So, oh, yeah, I know, you know, I know what you're talking about there, too. And it's the same way. Ask Chad. They just poured a concrete sidewalk. There is ribbon tied the whole way around it, and it's covered. They walk right in it. And you think that they'll turn around and go back? No, they got to go up and go off to the side and make more marks in it, you know. It's just that, duh. It never sunk in to them, you know. It's just one of them things. I can't explain it to you all, but that's just one of the things that there is about it. Okay, so that's what goes on there. Now, the next thing here is, what should motivate me to discipline my children? What do you think should motivate you? Let me read this verse to you. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. What do you think? What motivates you to discipline your child? Are you raising your hand? Go ahead, Ron.
Well, for most of us, initially, it's probably anger. But if we, as we've been discussing here, if we stop and consider, we're doing it then out of love for the kid and to give them the right direction. Again, just like we were just talking about, don't do this. It's not right to do this. So, especially this direct disobedience, you've got to do something at that point. But we shouldn't do it out of anger. But a lot of times, that's the first reaction, smack them.
I just thought of something here. I got to ask Natalie. Natalie, all your boys and even your daughter, is there any days that you have to discipline every one of them almost at the same time? Does that motivate you, or are you ready to give up?
Right.
See, that there's a motivation there, you know. You have all of them. Of course, though, you can give up to and say, ah, oh, can't take it anymore. But anyhow, you know, that. While disciplining your children the way the Bible says you should take a great deal of time and effort, it pays very rich rewards. And it does. You do have to take time and effort to make sure of disciplining your children. It's just one of them things that, you know, that's just part of life. And it takes time. And when you decide to have children in your life, the two of you, and you decide to have children in your life, then it just, everything just isn't the way it used to be. Go ahead.
Discipline involves more than punishment. And right now we're talking about punishment. Mm-hmm. But I think discipline starts with example and structure. And Elizabeth Elliot used to say, disciplined mother, disciplined children. And if you watch that tends to bear true. But, if we aren't disciplined in our lives, we can't expect our children to be disciplined in theirs.
She's already going ahead of my lesson already. But that's okay. Sorry. That's no problem. No problem. That's right. That's exactly right. To Corby.
I know a particular fellow and his children needed discipline. It was a 45-minute ordeal. And you wonder, how in the world could you do that? Our whole day would be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to address that. And if it takes 45 minutes, we probably ought to spend that time. But I know in our house, that just doesn't happen.
Some of them take more time.
Exactly.
I mean, I can get certain children in my house that take more explaining than the others.
That was one thing that, you know, I wished I'd have learned when I was younger, too, with my children. We didn't take as much time. Now, maybe my wife did. I didn't, you know. I was one that, look out, buddy, you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was, you know, and I wished I would have taken more time to explain. I did explain some things, you know, to them, but it wasn't too much explaining, you know. It was, you're getting her.
Well, like I think that's the discipline part of the parents' part.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do it the one way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Yes, ma'am. Remember, the branch is easily bent when it is tender. Always keep that in mind. Go ahead.
When you were talking about motivating, one of the things I thought of was, how do you want your child to act out in public? How do you want your child to act when they're away from you, grown up, or whatever? That should motivate you in a way to correct your child and for them to do what is right with you, because that affects what they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, the first point here that I have is discipline promotes your child's temporal welfare. And, you know, Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And that's true. You know, if you spare the rod, look at today's society. Look at the character that's in these people today that you're talking about here. Look at these young kids today. I mean, it's just, you know, it drives me nuts at my job when we have these young guys that's in there, you know. And then these older guys, don't they go and, you know, give them their ways and let them do all these things, and then all of a sudden these young ones will stab them in the back. And I just sit back and laugh, and I thought, well, I shouldn't even say that. Anyhow, they do them kind of things, so, you know, and it does happen. It's like we're saying here, we're not born disciplined. We need someone to make us, make ourselves do right when we don't feel like it. How many of you at this age today, you older ones, how many of you like to do right all the time? Or do you do right all the time? You don't. But yet you know that that's just something that's in us. It's in us. It's in our children. You know, and we need to make our children do right. It's the only way that we learn to make ourselves do right when we don't want to. You know, there's times where you don't want to do right, and then children are the same way. They don't want to do right. You can tell your child, okay, don't take that toy from her. She was playing with that. Don't take that from her. And you'll turn your back and boom, somebody's bawling, took the toy. They didn't want to do right. So you have to make them do right. You see, and that's part of it. Now here's what I think Eileen was talking a little bit about. Proper external discipline develops self-discipline. You need to have self-discipline. They need to be taught self-discipline. Men and ladies, I mean, you're all, most of you work in here. How many of you just love to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and just crawl out of that bed and go to work, you know? Or you decided, okay, I read my Bible first thing in the morning before I go to work. I'm getting up a half an hour earlier. Why do I do this? You know, you say to yourself, and you're dragging around, and, oh, I got to get that first cup of coffee, and then I'll be all right. And then you suck down that coffee, and you think, man. But you self-disciplined yourself to get up to do that. Even though you may drag yourself out of bed to do it, it's self-discipline. And you have to develop that in a child, that self-discipline, you know, for them to do that. That's a motivation that you should have. To get them to self-discipline themselves. You self-discipline yourself, you know. There's many things that you just, you know, some of you have different chores and things that you do during the day. I've got to, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this. You know, self-discipline. Well, sometimes you don't get them all done. But your self-discipline, you know yourself to do, you know, to start to do it. Or you wouldn't do it. So you got to have self-discipline, and self-discipline is something that's very important that you have to do, with a child. Without self-discipline, your child is sure to fail in every area of his life. Note, discipline to be effective must be consistent and motivated by love. To teach him that, you have to be consistent about it, but do it out of love too. And so that's what gets the temporal welfare of your child, you know, to get them to see that they need self-discipline. You have to be self-disciplined, though, first yourself. And I think that's what Eileen was saying there, you know. You have to be first. If you're not, forget it. You're not going to teach your children. I'll guarantee you that. So, you know, that's just something that you must do. Okay, questions or comments on that one? All right. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Part of that discipline is what Bobby was talking about, too. You have to talk to him about the heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen. Because if you just discipline them and expect them to figure it out on their own, it may eventually, but it's going to take years. You bring that moment to them. It's a teachable moment. And that twig is tender.
All right.
God's got to be brought into it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I take notice now that I think my wife has learned a lot more too. I see her with the grandchildren now, you know, when they do something wrong. She sits down and I hear her talking to them, and she'll say, you know, God doesn't like that. And she tells them different things about it and stuff. And, you know, like I say, it doesn't matter. It's a learning process no matter your whole life as far as that goes.
It's also, you know, it's more than just saying God doesn't like it.
And that's what she, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's what my wife goes along and does all that stuff too, Pastor.
This may go without saying, but just to make sure we understand here, that the teaching and explaining is what makes it discipline rather than just a punishment. Without that, it's just punishment.
Right. That's right.
I think Hebrews 12 sums it up in verses 10 and 11. It says, For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And there are times when, as parents, we chasten or discipline them after our own pleasure. But that the whole goal of discipline is a peaceable fruit of righteousness in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Corby.
Is there ever a time for just punishment?
Just?
You know, like Pastor was saying, you know, there's times where, just asking,
you mean like only?
Not just as in just, but is there ever a time where you only appropriate punishment?
Just the regular punishment? Well, since the pastor brought it up, he can answer that question.
I mean, there's times, I guess, give you an example. There's times where the kid knows he did wrong. He knows why he did wrong. And it's almost that all the conversation's already been addressed without being addressed, if that makes sense. And there's a guilt there, and they understand it. And so then it's just a matter of enacting the punishment.
And you can even see it on their face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Darren. Yeah.
With Proverbs 29, it's in Proverbs, it says, he that being often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So, yes, there is a point, I think, where, you know, it also says, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of men shall wax worse and worse. So, in that case of that one that will not respond to the discipline, you know, what you're trying, the end result that you're trying to achieve, there comes a point where they have to be punished as an example to others.
I think another time that you can punish without an explanation is some kids try to negotiate their punishment all the time. Sometimes the hammer just needs to fall and the negotiations cease.
Well, that's something that we'll be talking about when we get into the children, that negotiating thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dan.
It goes the other way.
You illustrated a time as well when you showed the one of your children the door. You know, that's.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, yeah, they know it. It's just like Corby said, they know it. They know what's going on. It's just, how far can I get with my mom or dad? You know, how far can I push it? You know, and that's up to the parent though too. If the parent keeps allowing them to push it, they're going to push it more. But if you put the hammer down, just like Eileen said here, that stops the pushing. I guarantee you that stops the pushing. But as long as they can get away with it, you know, they're going to. I mean, it's going to be just the same thing that we're going to be talking about, giving them rewards and things for doing good. They're going to negotiate that too, and that's where you got to watch, you know, on that. So, but we'll get into that later on. Okay. So that's that one there. So discipline promotes your child's temporal welfare. Now, discipline promotes your child's external welfare. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. It says, withhold not correction from the child, For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. That thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Since no normal man enjoys disciplining his children, God gives this exceeding and precious promise to encourage us in the most necessary but very unpleasant duty. It is assumed that the hand that uses the rod will be saved. Godly, praying, loving, training hand. A hand which has first disciplined itself to follow God's will before it seeks to discipline the child. The Bible doesn't encourage child abuse. And if you have a problem with child abuse, don't even touch that child. It will be no good for you. But you need to be disciplined yourself. Most parents are. Christian parents, I should say. Most. And so you need to follow God's will. You need to, and just like we were talking about explaining to them, take the Bible and sit down and talk to them about it. Show them, show them the different aspects of it. If you can't think of any verses, go to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. That takes a multitude of their questions away from them and stuff, you know. The Bible says it's a commandment that you have to obey me. And that's what, it's an easy self-explanation that you can do for them. And we'll be going over that here in just a second. So we see, here that it's an external thing. You have to be disciplined yourself before you can discipline the children. Now, here we go. How should I discipline my child? How should you discipline your child? What do you think? And we've been talking about it here. Is it the constant beatings all the time? The getting mad and carrying on, or explaining what you're saying here, or what is it? Go ahead, Ron.
I think it depends upon the child. Some children are receptive to receiving commandment, I guess, being told this is what you do, and they will do it. Later on, they don't do something that you've already explained to them. All you have to do is look at them, and they know, okay, I do that. Then there's the child, if you were talking about a minute ago, and I raised one of them. There is no reasoning. They're going to push your buttons, and they know where they are, they know what they are, and the only way that you're going to have the confrontation, whether it's physical or not, depends on the situation, but confrontation is an absolute. You've got to go face to face with that kid and get them to understand who's the boss.
All right. Yep. Yep. If they're pushing your buttons, you need to push the buttons back. You can't let it go. You let it go one time, they're over it. Okay, first of all here, number one, never discipline when you are out of control. Huh. Take the child, tell the child, if you are burning, it's right here. It's all here. You need to cool down. Okay? Take the child, tell them to go to their room or someplace and set them in a chair. Tell them to stay there, and you need to cool down yourself before you do it. You have to get your heart right before the hand is right, to discipline. And then that's when you're going to give discipline and not abuse. So always remember that. If you're out of control, don't discipline right then and there, because it's no good. No good at all. Okay. The next thing here is, be certain your youngster knows he was wrong before you discipline him or her. Make sure they understand what they did wrong. Sometimes parents just, boom, they discipline. But they need to be explained, because sometimes I've heard children already say, well, what did I do wrong? Now, there's two, though. You've got to know and understand if they're manipulating you or not. So you do. Because they can do that, too. Well, I didn't do nothing wrong. Oh, really? You know. So, you know, be sure that they know what's wrong. Is it rebellion or is it ignorance? Is it disobedience or is it an accident? Never punish for accidents or ignorance. Always punish for rebellion and disobedience. So be sure about that. Yes, ma'am. I think what the situation was that he helped somebody out with a question, wasn't it? And he was always, and to this day, this was something that was always bred in him. He always helped somebody. And he does it today, too. I've seen it too many times to know that this has been bred in. I don't know where he got it from. Well, I do know where he got it from. But, you know, trying to help somebody, you know, I do that. And he must have got it from me or something. I don't know, because I know I do that. I have a kid at work that he was in special ed, and I won't tell nobody that he was. He told me, and I try to help him with figures and stuff, adding and subtracting. Last year he was with me and adding and subtracting and stuff. He's very slow at it, but I would explain to him, okay, 5 plus 2. I said, count it out in your fingers if you want to, equals, you know. And this is how we get it, you know, and we went through this whole thing. And after a while, I could see he was kind of slowly getting it. But somebody like that just needs work with. But yet the kid is excellent in running equipment. I mean, you can't ask for somebody that's better. And all he needs is seat time in there, which they're giving him some now, to run it better and better. Now, see, there's somebody that you know, that just needs a little bit of help on some things, but other things. He's great at it. So, you know, but that's just what she's saying there, you know, is just, you know, make sure they understand what it is before you discipline them. Okay, the next one here is, be faithful to discipline in every instance of rebellion or disobedience. It's just one of them things that you have to be faithful to it. Don't let them do something one time and you discipline them, and another time you let them go. Don't do that. You have to be faithful at it constantly. It's got to be a constant thing. Then you're starting to build character in them. Then you're starting to build self-discipline in them if you do that. But if you let them go once, you know, it's going to be more and more is what's going to happen and take place. The next one here is, if possible, discipline in private, but let your children know that if they sin in public, they may be embarrassed in public. Now, that's something you have to be careful with today, out in public. But let me tell you something. Right here on your shoulder, there's a little muscle that goes across here. I tell you what, you can put a big man down if you just grab a hold of that and squeeze it. I'll guarantee you, because it hurts. And there's not one way that they don't know. Nobody knows what's going on if you hit some of these pressure points on a child when you're out in the public. Yes, you can't give them lickings. You can't do that. Don't even take them out into a car to do that. Because I've seen people, CYS, get involved in that kind of situation too, or somebody else seeing them. Don't even think about doing that. You know. Right, and they got video cameras and stuff like that. So don't even do that either. But make sure that when you get that you tell them that they're getting punished for this when they get home, then react when you get there. You know, do it right away so that they know. So just when you're out in public, just be careful. It used to not be that way, but it's getting worse and worse every day. And so, but anyhow, I don't want to get into this CYS stuff because I get upset about it. Tell your youngster what he did that was wrong before you discipline him. And we've talked about that. That's something that we've talked about. They must be told. If possible, show his error from Scripture. You know, if it's possible that you can do that, try to show their error from Scripture. And like I said there before, if you can't think of any other verse, go to Ephesians 6:1, and that covers kind of everything. And show him that he's not only offended you, he has sinned against God. You see, if you start getting that into their minds when they're younger, later on in life, you know, when they get saved and things, they'll know, hey, I'm not only going against, you know, my wife, I'm going against God too, or something like that there, you know. So, you know, just be careful with that. The next one here, explain to your child that you love him and are spanking him because God commands you to do so. So he's saying here, you know, that you're too about explaining it to him. Sit him down, like we said, we were talking about that also. We hit a lot of these already, just as we were talking here. But, you know, explaining to your child. The Lord promises it will help. It will help your youngster. And you need to. You need to explain to him, you know, why, what. And maybe there's sometimes, just like that incident there my wife just said about, well, you know, how do I explain this to him, you know. Ask the Lord to help you sometimes. You know, you got to ask the Lord to help you. Pray about it and things like that there. Because that's what this next one here is. No, it's not. It's the next one after that. Spank your child until he repents. That's a tough one there, isn't it? Huh? There's a tough one. My wife, I think I told you this story before, but my wife heard the kids. She just give them a licking, and she heard Nathan and, huh?
Your child.
They took after you, not me. They were going down the steps, and the one that had to take after me says to his sister, "Mom's licking don't hurt anymore." She heard that. Needless to say, she told him to come back up the steps. He knew dad's did, but you know he didn't think mom's did anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, he learned his lesson. So you know that's a hard one to explain to you, but you know you got to break that will, and that's a difficult situation sometimes. And I already told you about the one grandchild, you know, that he was terrible. His will was terrible to break. I can't even say to this day, and I think Chad says the same thing. He don't know what happened to this day, but his will finally got broke. But he used to take, and he would, you'd give him a licking or something, he'd go beat his head against the wall. Well, I said, go ahead, beat your head against the wall. I don't care. It's not hurting me. But he wasn't broke. He just wasn't broke. And like I said, you could give him a licking. And there's times where I myself gave him lickings that I did not let up on him. I give him a licking just like I give my kids a licking, you know. But it's still that will just didn't get broken. Now, finally, something happened, something snapped, and it got broken. To this day, it's, you know, I don't see it anymore at all. Number 8, pray with your child after he has repented and let him get right with God. And that's a good one. That is a good one. I mean, I think that gives the parent self-discipline too, you know, of praying with them. And that way you know that you're not out of control. That you're just not giving the spanking them and just whoop, letting, you know, going and that's it. You know, pray with them, you know, and show them that you love them. But you got to explain to them that, you know, that this is what God wants. This is what the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to do to you, you know, and I have to do it, you know, and pray with them. And then the last one here is love your child and forgive him or her. You know, you have to forgive them. Like I said there, that's just what we were saying there. If he deserves a spanking or he does not deserve hate or rejection. You know, you say it sounds like a lot of work to me, but anything worthwhile takes time, effort, and the cause of Christ, the welfare of your child and your own happiness are at stake. All these things are at stake, you know, bringing your child up, you know. And that's the thing, you know. Are you going to be faithful at this? You know, Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. You know, you can rejoice. You can rejoice when your children grow up, you know, and are serving the Lord and doing the right things and then teaching their children the same thing. You know, it's just a teaching of generation after generation after generation. And you can do that. But Proverbs 15:20 here, just to close up here, Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. What are your children going to be? Are they going to be wise or are they going to be foolish? You know, that it's up to you. I thought that this was going to be the last lesson for the men, but just so happens this morning I ran across another lesson yet. I think that's going to be good. I just seen some different situations out here, and I just, like I say, I found another lesson here that I'm going to go over for men yet, and then we're going to get into the ladies. I thought we were going to get into the ladies, but I'm not going to yet. And the name of it is How Couples Can Stay Close. So it's not a real big lesson, but it is a lesson that I want to go over, you know, with us. So questions or comments on any of this, Pastor?
Be careful with that number 7.
Yes, that's why I say it's hard to explain it. No.
Sometimes you can cross the line on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
By following that thing to the letter.
I agree.
Just be careful.
Yep.
When you spank, one thing I learned is you have to have them hold on to the pants. And I would like to do that. And then I found out some of my kids were padding their pants. They're putting on several layers so they wouldn't feel it. So make sure you, they don't do that.
My daughter hated it. She literally hated it. She was one of them where you had to tie her up. I mean, put her across your legs, get her down here, put this leg in around this and this in around that, you know, to get. She hated it, you know, and there was no doubt about it. She knew when it was coming, and she was just, you know, some of them, they turn their tears on right away. They think that they're going to get out of it, you know, and stuff. And you can't let them do that either, you know. But, boy, she hated it. That was a terrible thing. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll have some stories to tell you about some things like that there, you know, when we get into the children. I've read some stories and I thought, wow, I can't believe what some of them kids did to their parents. And it was because the parents didn't do, you know, what they were supposed to do, damn.
Of course, the training I take in this arena was,
no.
Repentance comes through this time. Many times, but Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe at that moment when you pray, hopefully.
Right, right. Anybody else? Okay, we'll quit right there. Father, I thank you for this time. We thank you for this lesson. We just ask you would guide and direct us. And with the next lesson here coming up, our Father, some of the things that you were showing me this morning there on it, I just ask you would just help us with that also. We ask for your guidance and direction now with the service to follow, and that you would enlighten us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.